The Old Testament reading is Psalm 138 and can be found on page 628 of the Pew Bibles. That's 628, Psalm 138. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 29 to 35. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours go on eating and drinking." Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast." This is the gospel of the Lord.
So, good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Holy Father, as I speak, may my words be guided by you. May these words be a comfort and enlightenment to one and all. So open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our will, that we may serve you today, now and always. Amen. So I want to start off by saying, I'm greatly honored to serve a church that takes welcome seriously and acknowledges that everybody has a place in God's kingdom. And the mission statement is a testimony to that fact. Welcome everyone with the love that we have received from Jesus. Welcome everyone with the love that we have received from Jesus. What a lovely welcome statement. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, starting at verse 29 to 35, in fact, we'll go back a couple of verses, start from verse 27, which describes the scene of Jesus calling Levi. This is a call not just to one disciple, but to each one of us to join his kingdom. It tells us how Jesus accepted and welcomed Levi, also known as Matthew, into his kingdom. I want to share a story of one such disciple of Jesus. I don't know much about her background, but I believe she knew there was a place for her in God's kingdom. She knew she was accepted and welcomed into her kingdom. She loved, cared, and kindness she showed to all, exemplifying how to be a true disciple of Christ by practicing his teachings. I think we'll have a photo on the screen. So this story begins in India a little over 100 years ago. Now, don't look at me like that. I'm not that old, and neither was I there. But this story is very close to my heart, and in fact, is the sole reason why I stand in front of you as a follower of Christ. The lady you see in the photograph is Miss Purnell, a British missionary who dedicated her life to serving Jesus and spreading love through the gospel in Punjab, India. The little boy you see sitting in the front on the right is my grandfather, a born Muslim. You would also see a Sikh, a Hindu, a little girl, and many others in this photograph. At that time, in the early 1900s, tensions and hatred between various religious communities were high, no different than today. So Miss Purnell's aim was to extend God's love by accepting and welcoming everyone into his kingdom, regardless of their faith, color, or language. She wanted to promote peace by showing kindness, love, care, even during the times of tension. What people saw in Miss Purnell attracted them to Christ. They saw that she was kind, she was loving, caring, helpful, welcoming, and always had time for others. My grandfather, feeling loved, accepted, and welcomed, turned to Christ when he was around 15 years old. From him being a Hafiz-e Quran, now if you don't know what a Hafiz-e Quran is, it is reciting the Quran by heart. So for him, being a Hafiz-e Quran, to knowing the Bible would have been a difficult decision to make. But God bless his soul, he accepted the truth. He accepted the light. He accepted our very own Jesus as his Savior. You see, when we are embraced, accepted, and welcomed into his kingdom, it changes us, it renews us, it transforms us, and enables us to become true disciples of Christ. Miss Purnell exhibited just this through her actions in India. I want you to hold on to this story, and we will come back to this later. So our topic for today is a place for everybody. And the passage read out beautifully, both Psalm and the passage from Luke, comes after a series of events. In the first event, Jesus instructs Simon to cast his nets into the deep. Simon reluctantly obeys, and they catch an unprecedented amount of fish, causing Simon Peter to fall at Jesus' knees, saying and acknowledging, "I am a sinful man." In the second event, a leper begged Jesus for healing by saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, saying, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. In the third event, Jesus healed the paralyzed man by saying, "Friend, your sins are forgiven. I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Finally, Jesus invites the tax collector named Levi, also known as Matthew, to follow him. Levi means joined, and Matthew means gift of Yahweh. I would be using alternatively both Matthew and Levi moving forward. So Matthew might have picked up his ledger, closed his account books, said goodbye to his other tax friends or any other friends around, and perhaps might have also said, "Jesus, I am coming with you." Not only did he follow Jesus, he threw a party for Jesus. He opened his house, welcoming everyone, and it was a big house. It was a tax collector's house. We'll learn about the tax collector later on. He invited all his friends, the tax collector, and others that shared a meal with him. Now, shared meals symbolize shared lives, intimacy, kinship, and unity. Levi had three purposes in arranging the great banquet. The first, to honor the Lord. The second, to witness publicly to his new allegiance. And the third, to introduce a table and celebrate an occasion and introduce his friends to Jesus as well. Does this banquet resonate or recall something recent? Is this not what we did last week? In a bring and share meal, we sat around a table and celebrated an occasion of ordination. The Pharisees and the scribes did not like Jesus eating and dining with the tax collectors, as the tax collectors were the most hated by the Jews. But I wonder, what were the Pharisees and the scribes doing there anyway? Had they been invited, or were they spying on Jesus? So tax collectors were hated because the Jews thought their worst sin was their collaboration with the Romans, who so severely suppressed the Jewish people. The Romans were miserable towards the Jews and oppressed them through taxation. The Romans were able to discover a tax for almost everything: wheat, olives, grapes, wines, barley, chariots, almost everything. Matthew was a Jewish man working for the Romans. Sitting at his table alongside the shores of the Sea of Galilee, right at the trade route between Syria and Egypt, collecting a trade tax, and perhaps like other tax collectors, keeping a percentage for himself. The pious Jews prayed daily for deliverance from the Romans, yet they couldn't bear to look at this man. He was a tax collector who enriched himself by collecting taxes imposed by the Roman government, which was deemed unacceptable by the Jews. This is why the Pharisees held such a disdain for tax collectors. So the Pharisees believed in salvation by segregation, by separating themselves from the people of the land to be righteous in the eyes of God. The Pharisees believed that sinners, including tax collectors, were to be avoided because they could contaminate those who associated with them. When they see Jesus at the party, they can't believe their eyes and find it hard to stomach. Jesus believed in salvation through association. I believe Jesus is illustrating a very simple but important point. For the Pharisees, Matthew the tax collector was someone to stay away from in fear of being contaminated. But for Jesus, this was the main reason the Son of Man had come to earth, to seek and save the lost. And Jesus had just found Matthew, who was lost, sitting on the toll road. Jesus came for Matthew the Levite. Jesus came for the tax collectors. He came for the lost. He came for the forgotten. He came for the lonely. He came for the people of the land. He came for you and for me. He came for everyone. This is my God, who has a place for everyone in the kingdom. Everyone is welcome: the oppressed, the marginalized, the poor, the needy, the brokenhearted, the lonely, the deprived, the believers, the unbelievers, the skeptics, the mockers, the rich, the poor, the people of every color, married people, single people, divorced people, Hindus, Sikhs, Muslims, everyone is welcome. This is my God. This is your God, who welcomes and accepts each one of us as we are. Do we know this God? Do we follow this God? Jesus treats everybody with equality and empathy, regardless of their situation. But Jesus is not pleased with the sacrifice of those who might think they are superior than others. It doesn't matter how much we have, where we have been. It doesn't matter what we have done. He has a place for us in his kingdom, and he loves us immensely. Our past can be forgiven. Our present can have a purpose, and our future is as bright as the promise of God. You can see that we do not need to fear anything because God sent Jesus Christ to each one of us, and through Jesus Christ, we are welcomed into his kingdom. Now you might say, Ray, wait a minute. We know that we are welcomed, nothing new. We know that we are accepted, nothing new. We know that he accepts us into his kingdom as we are. So what? We are welcomed, we are accepted, so what? I would reply, as I observe the world around me, I wonder, a God who loves us immensely, who sent his son to die up for us on the cross, setting us free from the bondage of sin, who forgives our iniquities. He has also blessed us by making us in the image, and I want to show you a few of his blessings. So, are we ready to see his blessings? I can't hear you all. Yes. I still can't hear you all. Yes. Okay, then let's go for it. Now, see in this, you'll see kindness. You would see love. You would see holiness. You would see patience. We are made in the image of God. You'll see joy. You'll see togetherness. You would see that you are made in the image of God. Love, joy, patience, forbearance. We are made in the image of God. He loves us immensely. But we might need to ask ourselves to continually remain on track some difficult questions. Are we reciprocating the same standards of acceptance and welcome towards others? God has very high standards of welcome and acceptance. Do we accept others as Christ has accepted us? Do we welcome others as Christ welcomes us? Jesus treats each one of us with equality and empathy. How do we treat others? Do we accept each other as one in Christ, or are we selective? Are we willing to let down our social standings, our pride, our ego, our arrogance, and our attitudes, and enter his gates with praise and thanksgiving as David did? Please remember, Jesus set aside his own agony and pain at Gethsemane to set us free. Jesus loved us so much that he gave himself up at the cross to set us free from the bondage of sins. I reiterate, he accepts and welcomes each one of us into his kingdom with equality and empathy. During his time on earth, Jesus welcomed people from all walks of life and in various settings. A significant aspect of his welcoming nature was his willingness to make time for those who required his assistance. Many of us strive to exhibit a friendly and inviting disposition, one that draws people towards us. Yet, in the hustle and bustle of our daily routine, we often overlook the importance of extending a warm welcome to those we encounter. Our focus on achieving our objectives may cause us to lose sight of the value of embracing those around us. Jesus exemplified true responsibility by always making time for those who needed him, regardless of their background or status. We can follow in the footsteps of Jesus by altering our conduct and prioritizing quality time with both our loved ones and strangers. Just as Jesus welcomed everyone he encountered, we too should give a warm reception to everyone we come across. It's important to remember that every individual deserves to be treated with kindness and hospitality. Sometimes all it takes for us to extend a warm reception is a few seconds of our time to ask someone who's serving us about their day, or a few minutes to listen to a friend who needs to let off some steam. As I draw your attention back to this photograph, once again, I want to say with a mission statement of welcome everyone with the love that we have received from Jesus, the sky is the limit. And I believe Miss Purnell, being a true disciple of Jesus Christ, exhibited this love in her daily life and on her front lines and in everything she did. And I stand a testimony of the glory of Jesus that shined on many lives through Miss Purnell. As I look around, I see a Miss Purnell in each one of you. As I look around, I see a Miss Purnell in each one of you. I see us together doing great things for our church and within the community, welcoming and embracing everyone. But it might require change, perhaps a little tweaking. If you are finding it difficult to extend an acceptance or a welcome to anyone, we might need to stop, rethink, reflect, and realign ourselves with the teachings of Jesus Christ. And if we are trying to be more welcoming to the people we surround ourselves with and those we come across, I have a verse from the Bible to encourage you. It's from Romans chapter 15, verse 7. It says, "Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." Accept one another, then, as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Remember, we are no more slaves of fear. Each one of us is a free child of God, accepted, welcomed, and loved immensely. I want to end by saying what I said at the start. I am greatly honored to serve a church that takes welcome seriously and has developed a mission statement: welcome everyone with the love that we have received from Jesus. Welcome everyone with the love that we have received from Jesus. And last week, you exhibited it wonderfully. Keep up the good work and the wonderful works. God bless us all. Amen. Amen.